Point nine, Jesus is our example. This is a great one. We may need to yell. I know it's late, but I only get one shot. Jesus is our example. 1 Peter 2:21. Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so you might follow in his steps. Jesus suffered and died, giving us an example. Philippians 2 says that Jesus is our example. The theological term for this is Christus exemplar. Okay, now, let me do this really carefully. I'll give you a theology to be a biblical charismatic without being a fruity nut job, okay? And then there'll be two of us. Okay, so we'll be in this together. Jesus Christ was God, eternally, fully God, completely. And he came into human history, fully man, fully human being, fully God, fully man. Council of Chalcedon in 451 declared fully God, fully man. They call it the hypostatic union. I absolutely believe that. I completely believe that. The question is, how did Jesus live his life on the earth if Jesus is to be also our example? Some people say he was like Superman. It looks like he's suffering, it looks like he's being tempted, but he's really God, and he's kind of faking it. Because God can't be tempted. God can't really suffer. You read Hebrews 4:15, it says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weakness. Instead, we have Jesus, and he does sympathize with us, because he's been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. It's not Superman. Jesus isn't God faking it, like Clark Kent. So how does he live his life on earth if his life is our example? I would ask you, how does Jesus live his life on the earth fully human and fully divine? Philippians 2, 5 through 11 says that he set aside his rights and he set aside the constant use of his divine attributes. Jesus didn't cease to be God. Be very careful on that. On this point, not to negate him, but men like Creflo Dollar have said, Jesus wasn't fully God. You can't say that because Jesus forgives sin when he's on the earth and he does things that only God can do. But he sets aside the divine use of his attributes. God doesn't change, but Jesus grows up. Luke 2:42, he grows in wisdom and stature and favor with men and God. God knows everything, but Jesus has to learn. So Jesus sets aside the divine rights and the divine constant use of his attributes, though he still possesses them, to live according to Philippians 2, 5 through 11, humbly to identify with us. So then the question is, if he's living a fully human life as we do, how in the world is that an example for us? How did Jesus live his life? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Charismatics think that the Bible begins in Acts 2. Everything to the left of that is like the, you know, it's the national anthem before the game. Nobody's really paying attention. Acts 2, then it's kickoff. You know, then it counts. Because that's when the Holy Spirit came. My answer is, who wrote Luke? Luke. Who wrote Acts? Luke. How does he begin Acts? In my former book, what does he do? Puts Luke and Acts together as one continuous book. You go back to Luke. Jesus is called Jesus Christ. Christ means anointed of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't drop first in Acts 2. It drops first at, he drops first at the baptism of Jesus. Comes down. God the Father speaks. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. There's the whole Trinity. And then Jesus is, what? Luke 4. Led by the Spirit into 40 days in the wilderness for tempting and testing. So they say, Jesus didn't teach like the other guys. He teaches one with anointed authority. That's the Holy Spirit. Jesus does miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus heals the sick and casts out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's a fun study. Read the book of Acts, but first read the book of Luke and look at how the work of the Holy Spirit is a thread right through Luke and Acts. Jesus dies for our sin, rises. Luke's in Acts 1:8, he's standing before his disciples. He says, I'm going to leave and you're going to keep doing the kingdom work I was doing, but don't do it yet. First, need the Holy Spirit to come down on you too. When you do, you'll be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth, all the way to Edinburgh. We're going to get all the way out there eventually. And then the most amazing thing happens. The Holy Spirit comes and people start living Spirit-filled, Spirit-led lives, which is the life of Jesus. You're a good charismatic if by definition being Spirit-filled means living the life of Jesus. If being Spirit-filled means living like the guy with the big throne whose wife looked like she lost a paintball gun war with all the hair, you're in serious trouble, okay? You're in trouble. You should quit your job and go get another job. Because you're hurting our team. People come up to me, they say, do you believe in being Spirit-filled? Yes, I believe in living the life of Jesus. You get that? How many of you wouldn't feel so weird being a Pentecostal if by definition it meant we do what Jesus did? That feels better. You know, that fits, it works. You don't feel guilty about that. And even the non-Pentecostal, non-charismatics are like, well, I can't really argue with that. That's pretty good. You got me there, that whole Jesus thing. Okay, but in this, the Holy Spirit led Jesus, and I'm going to keep going on this, into suffering. Charismatics don't like that. They're like, no. He resurrected. We have victory. We don't suffer anymore. Yes, you will. Philippians 1, it is appointed that you not only believe in Jesus, but suffer for his name. That Jesus was led into suffering, hardship, and death, and you will be too. Now in that, Hebrews 5:8 says that Jesus was perfected through his suffering. I won't even tell you what it means because I don't know. But we will be perfected through our suffering too. Which means when we suffer, we must suffer like Jesus suffered by the power of the Holy Spirit. That God would do something good in us to make us more like Jesus and more appreciative of Jesus. And God would do something through us to give the world a testimony of what it means to suffer with, like, for, by, and through Jesus, willing to pick up our cross and follow him daily. The big omission in charismatic theology is they don't know what to do with suffering and poverty, but if you have a Spirit-filled Jesus who's our example, then even when he goes to the cross, he's still a good example for us, even when we suffer. Even when we suffer. So here's what I'm saying. Don't waste your pain, your hardship, your suffering, or your death. You pay so much for it. It costs you so much. It comes at such a high expense. Use it for a witness. Use it for the gospel. Use it like Jesus did. Don't lament and cry. Where's my anointing? Where's my God? Right there. Just as he was with Jesus on the cross. Allowing God to do something in you and through you. One pastor, he suffered under communist rule. He had this great statement. He said, Christians are like nails. The harder you hit us, the deeper we go. And it's understanding that through the cross of Jesus, not only do we get salvation, but we learn how to suffer and die well for the sake of the gospel.